Yeah, as a church we've been going through the Holy Spirit, and have you guys been blessed so far? That's good. But you know what, there's more. There's more, there's much more than what you guys can ever imagine. For me, it's a beautiful picture. I just want to read you. I'm reading from Acts 1. If you can open your Bible, say. And it's just a beautiful picture of Jesus about to descend and going to the Father. And he's with the disciples. And he's about to give his final commandment to them. And I am reading from verse 4. It says this. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. It's not only, but I'm going to carry on reading this. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. And it's a beautiful promise, and we I don't think as believers we always understand or appreciate the significance of what was about to happen here. I mean, and I think as a gift, as something that as a church we have taken for granted for far too long. And I believe what the theme that has been coming through this morning is, as church arise, church listen, church, you cannot do it without my Spirit. There's a call for action. There's a call for the church to be mobilized. And it means to be mobilized. It means get out of your chair and start doing what I've called you to do. For me, it's a beautiful picture. I mean, if we read further in Acts, I'm just going to read it quickly. It says this in Acts 2. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came and rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. The day of Pentecost is a day that changes history. There are certain timelines, certain events in mankind that is just highlighted. I mean, God's creation of man sinning, Jesus dying across us, and this is one of those points as well. The Holy Spirit coming upon men. We all know that man have sinned. The Bible speaks that man have sinned. And what happened as a cause of that sin, they were separated from the presence of God. We were created to be in fellowship with God. We were created to walk with God on a daily basis, to have intimacy with God. And that is what Adam had, but because of sin, they no longer had that intimacy. But God so loved us, he said, you know what? You were created to be in my presence. I want to be with my people, but because of sin, I cannot be in your presence. So God made the alternative. He created a tabernacle, and his presence was with the people in the tabernacle, but that wasn't good enough for God. He wanted more. He desired to have an intimacy with his people on an individual level, not where a priest comes into the presence of God on behalf of people. He said, no, I created each one of you. I want to be present with each one of you. So Jesus died. Jesus came. He's died for us. He said, you know what? Because I've died, because my blood was shed for you, each one of you can accept what I've done for you into my heart. And more than that, I'm going to give my presence back to you. The presence of God, God himself, will once again be with his people. And this is exactly what happened in the day of Pentecost. God Almighty, once again, inhabiting his people. He says, I will give you a gift. Receive this gift of the Holy Spirit. Like I said to Simon, it's a gift that is there to be received. You can take this gift, oh, thank you, very nice, and put it away and not use it. Church, the call is for you to use the gift that God has given each of us. Jesus gave his disciples very clear instructions. He said, you know what, go to Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit. I've said it before, waiting is not something that we as humans do very well. We live in a culture, we live in an age where people are very impatient. They're impatient with each other, they want instant gratification, we want instant answers, everything must happen at a fast pace. I mean, if we rewind 15, 20 years ago, life, the pace of life was a lot slower. I mean, if you wanted to write somebody a letter, you couldn't just send an email. Fax was there, a lot of things happened by post, so life was a lot slower. So, I mean, I receive business emails at night time now, and you are expected to answer. So life happens at a fast pace, our own time is not our own anymore in it, and people want things instantly. They're not willing to wait till tomorrow. You know what, I've got a business query, I expect you to answer it right now. So we don't do the waiting thing very well. But yet the command here was to wait. If you can put up a second slide there for me, please. Now that word wait comes from the word kwafar. It means to press in, like a spear point. It is very focused. A spear point is very sharp or bind together like a rope. I've mentioned it before. It is the call is for them to press into God, to bind themselves unto God. So you do not leave that place. You wait upon God until you're pressing into God, you're binding yourself unto God until my gift comes. So they didn't just sit there and have a tea party. Say, okay, we're going to go to Jerusalem. We're going to eat some biscuits. We're going to eat some bread. We're just going to have fellowship. And then the Holy Spirit will come. No. They were focusing on God. They were crying out, Lord, we're not going to leave this place until we receive that gift. It was a few days, people. It wasn't an hour. It wasn't 10 minutes. They were waiting upon God. How willing are you to wait upon God this morning? How hungry are you for His Holy Spirit? I asked it the last time I was here. What happens when we wait on God? There's suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And each one of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. A violent wind. Have you guys heard a violent wind before? It was audible. Say, what is happening here? Is this place going to fall apart? And so that wind came and it filled the whole house. Every room, every corner was filled. When something is filled, you can see it. You can experience it. And that is what God wants to do with each one of us. Every part of your whole body has to be filled by the Holy Spirit. That is what God wants to do. What was happening here was promised by the prophets in the Old Testament. Joel said this, and afterwards, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old man will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. It is an all-inclusive promise. Every believer, every man, woman and child will receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The gift is there. We have to receive it. The Holy Spirit is still crying out. God is still crying out. Guys, my Holy Spirit is here. Receive it. Be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Why does God want us to have the Holy Spirit? Why does He want to fill us completely with His power, with His presence? The Holy Spirit has got many functions in our lives. But the most important thing is He's there to enable us. God wants to enable us. We are vessels of God's glory. We are vessels to take the gospel to other people. We are witnesses of God. I mean, to be witnesses is not just to be, say, listen, this is what Jesus did for us. It is more than that. This act that was happening here, God's presence with us, we are to be witnesses to people. Say, listen, you know what? God is real. His presence is manifested in our lives. We've got to bear the fruits. We've spoken about the fruits of the Spirit. We have spoken about all those things. When God's presence is with you, you are witnesses of that as well. not just a witness of what Christ did for us. In the Old Testament, the Spirit just came upon people for a certain function, a certain purpose. And once the function was completed, the Holy Spirit departed. But God wanted more. He said, now you know what? I'm not just putting my Spirit on you for a certain function. My Spirit is going to inhabit you and is going to remain with you. So for those such things, you know what? Our God just used me and the Holy Spirit departs. No. We've got to walk in the life of the Spirit every day. We are consumed. We are filled by the power of God. And we see exactly that picture happening in the New Testament. It started with Jesus. When Jesus could not fulfill his ministry until he received the baptism. When he was baptized, the minute he was baptized with the Holy Spirit, he started his ministry. How much more? Who of you are in ministry? Who's in ministry here? All hands should go up. Every single one, every single believer, the minute you give your life to Christ, you are in full-time ministry. And you cannot be in ministry unless you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Jesus set that example. Heather spoke last week about life in the Spirit, and that's what I want to speak about today. But I want to speak on it from a practical point of view. How do you actually live your life in the presence of God? How do you allow the Holy Spirit to work through your life? I think it's a question many have asked, and I've sometimes struggled with it. And something that God's done in my heart from a young age is, Lord, the cry has always been in my heart, Lord, I want more of you, more of you. And I think that is a good place to start. So, and I'm just going to just quickly read through the points that she had. She said, choose to be alive to Christ, dare to sin, and walk in the Spirit. Be baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit. Be a channel of compassion from Father God's heart. Decide daily to follow Him. Live with expectation for what God will do. Live free of past shame, guilt, and fear of your future. Minister the gifts God has given you. Hear Him for yourself. I think that's a very important point. And just let it be. Amen. Yes and amen. That is the word of God. So I want to speak to you guys in a practical. It is very foundational. It is not. It is my point of view. And I hope it will help you guys this morning. First of all, you know what? It starts all with Jesus. You've got to have a revelation of what Jesus has done for you in your life. I think if you got that revelation, you will never live your life the same. You paid the ultimate price for us. He said, freely you have received, now freely you have to give. Like I said, we cannot hold this gift to ourselves. We cannot just put it on the shelf and say, you know, maybe for one day, when I'm bored, I've got nothing else to do, I'll take this gift and do something with it. It starts by accepting Christ into our life. The second thing, we've got to ask for this gift. We've got to ask the Holy Spirit to come into us and say, Lord, fill me with your presence. Fill me with your power. Tessa, can I have my beautiful assistant? Take this. Just stand there. Can you switch that light on for me, please? Come on, switch it on. Why is it not working? Tell me. Okay, plug it in first, please. Okay, hold it up. Switch it on. Amen. And there was light. Thank you. You can leave it on. Just leave it switched on. Empowering starts by being plugged in. There's electricity all around us. You can't see it. There's power all around us. You can't see it. But you can see it the minute it's plugged in and switched on. You've got to be plugged into the Holy Spirit. You've got to switch. You've got to activate that switch in your life. God has given us every tool we need. He's given that gift to us. You've got to receive it. You've got to activate it in your life. He's not going to just come upon you. You're not a puppet. You're not a robot. He's not going to control you. You've got to say, Lord, I want that gift. I want your Holy Spirit. I want to be empowered by you. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Isn't that how the song goes? You've got to decide to let that light shine. That's where it starts. Slide number 3. Please. Smith Wigglesworth. Who knows Smith Wigglesworth? If I can just, I mean, that is my desire. Lord, I want something what that man had. I think it's 13 or 14 people that this man raised from the dead. I haven't raised one yet. It's coming. God is more eager to answer than what we are to ask. How do we know that? Let me give you a little testimony. Last week, Tuesday evening, I was about 9 o'clock at night. I got into bed and I put my earphones on. I just put some soaking music. And my cry was, Lord, more of your presence. I want more of your presence in my life. And I was just lying there for about half an hour just listening to worship music. And afterwards, I got up, had some water to drink, and I came back to my bedroom, took my phone, I saw it was a message. And the message was from a friend, and he basically said he felt for a few weeks now that God has wanted to do something in my life, that the Holy Spirit wanted to activate something in my life. And I spoke to Sunday before at church about certain stuff that the Holy Spirit has done in my life, where I felt the tangible presence of God in my life. I mean, that was incredible. And he said, you know what? That what you have felt, God said he wants to do that again, and even more. And you know what? The minute he sent that message was almost immediately when I was, at the same time, when I was crying out to God. I was crying out to God for that thing. And at that same point, he sent that message. He could have sent it weeks before because he'd been feeling it for a few weeks. But yet, the minute I cried out to God, God answered. The answer was his already. If I picked up my phone at that point, I would have seen the answer. So God is more eager to answer than what we are willing to ask him. So when we ask God for something, be ready. He said, listen, just ask. Just ask me, and I will do it. I will give it to you. It's all about pursuing and submitting our lives to him. We've got to pursue him. We've got to hunt after him. We've got to cultivate the presence of God in our lives. How do you cultivate the presence of God in your lives? Cultivation speaks to me about, if you've got a little bonsai, you tweak it, you feed it, you water it, and that's what we've got to do in our own lives. If we want more of God in our own lives, we've got to cultivate the presence. It's something that we've got to do. We've got to spend more time in his word. Like I said to Simon, we've got to devour his word, not just read his words. Lord, let it become a revelation to me. Help me to outlive this sin. We've got to spend time in worship. We've got to exalt him in our life. It's going to be a daily thing. It's not just going to be a Sunday thing. Oh, you know what? I'm going to go to Sunday, and then the rest of the week, we live our lives as we please. The most important thing is that walking intimately with him and having a deep grounding in his words are essential for him to release the power through us. When we are serious about the things of God, God will answer us. We're going to cry out, Lord, more of you, more of your presence. And he will answer. Benny Hinn starts his day, every day he starts the day, say, good morning, Holy Spirit. What is your plan and purpose for this day in my life? We've got to start our day saying, Holy Spirit, how are you going to enable me today? What can I do for you today? Show your power for me. And then we walk through our day, opening our eyes. Is this it? God will answer. To give you an example of what happened to me, I think I might have told the story before. I prayed one day, I said, Lord, use me today to expand your kingdom. Just put somebody on my path that I can share your goodness with. Went on a business trip to Great Yarn, and as I left, after conducting my business, was about to leave Great Yarn, there's a hitchhiker putting his thumb out. And I know you better than me at this, and I'll justify. I said, you know what, I'm not going to pick this guy up. Too dangerous. I don't know this person. He might kill me around the corner. I've got a young family. So I drove past the guy. And as I drove past him, I actually showed him, I'm turning off. I'm not going your way, buddy. I'm turning off. I was lying. I could still see him in my rear view mirror, and the Holy Spirit said, have you not asked me this morning to put somebody on your path to share my goodness with? I say, oh Lord, but I've passed him already, and this and that. The Holy Spirit would not let me go. I had to turn around. I turned around, I picked the guy up, and I apologized for lying to him. So I thought, now I've got a captive audience, so now this guy is going to get it from me. Once again, I was wrong. This guy was a believer, just looking for a lift to come pick up his motorbike in Maritzburg. This guy started speaking into my life. Start prophesying over my life. We get it so wrong. But God is good. And that is what God wants from us. When we ask, He will deliver. To carry His presence as well, we've got to get rid of sin in our life. Sin is an obstacle between us and the presence of God. And don't try and do it in your own strength. I've been there, done it. Ask God to help you with it as well. Galatians 5, we had in-depth teachings on this. It says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. What this is saying, if sin arises, make a choice. You know what? I'm not going to be led by the flesh. I'm going to turn my back on it. God says when you are tempted, you will always make a way out. So ask the Holy Spirit, say, if I'm tempted, Lord, help me in my weakness. Choose to walk in the Spirit. It's a choice that we've got to make. Once again, God has given us everything that we need. The choice is up to you and me. Whether we are going to be obedient. We're going to learn to hear God's voice next. So one, now we've asked God, so Lord, do this with me. Now we've got to open our ears and say, Lord, what is next? Put the next. Revelation 2 verse 7. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. What God is saying, who is the church? People who are the church. We are the church, the ecclesia of God. When we are assembled together, we are the church of God. Each individual makes up the church. So God is speaking to each individual here. See, whoever has an ear, let him listen. Let him hear what the Spirit of God has to say. Seven times this is said in Revelation 2-3. Speaking to the seven churches. And it wasn't a good word. It wasn't an easy word. Just like Tony brought a word this morning. Sometimes we don't want to hear things. Sometimes we don't want to hear when God speaks to us. It's easier to turn a deaf ear. Five of these churches were actually rebuked. Because why? They stopped listening to the Holy Spirit. They started doing things that God didn't call him to do. To him who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of God has to say. God speaks the whole time. I've learned in my own life, I can't teach you how to hear the Holy Spirit. We are all individuals. You've got to find out how God speaks to you. God uses me in a gift of prophecy, but it's a gift that I had to develop. And so what I do is simply, I look across the room and I say, Lord, who do you want to highlight you today? And this morning I was sitting here and I had nothing. I said, Lord, I'm going to stand up here this morning and you know what, it's not about performance. And I think the day will come when I will have nothing. But I said, Lord, please speak to your people. And then he started highlighting people. I said, Lord, so I look at the person and God will give me a picture. That's how I hear God's voice. Toolbox. I said, Lord, toolbox? What on earth? And then he takes the next step. Open the toolbox. What's in the toolbox? There was nothing. I said, Lord, what does this mean? And then suddenly a Bible appeared. Step by step, listening, asking God, being led by the Holy Spirit. That is how I learned to hear the Holy Spirit. And each one of you can hear the Holy Spirit like that for yourselves. Can you show us that video clip? Is it possible to go out?
Hey everyone, as you can tell, I'm at work. I just had to pull over and share something real quick. As I'm delivering, I pull up to this house. The lady walks out because she's checking her mailbox for her newspaper. And I have two boxes for her, so we start walking up the driveway together. And She asked me if I had a happy holidays, and I was telling her how busy it was. I told her I had a really great Christmas and New Year's, and I asked her the same. I was like, how was your holidays? And with tears in her eyes, she said, it wasn't good. And she said, he's sick. My husband's sick. He has cancer. I continued a small talk to try to change the subject because that's awkward. And I deliver her package. She said, what's your name? I said, Amanda. She told me her name. I drove off. My heart's pounding. I do probably 20 more stops, and I have to go back. You know, with this kind of job, we're on a tight schedule. Quicker you do it, the better. Quicker you get home. I stopped what I was doing. I went back to that neighborhood and rang her doorbell and asked her. She came down the stairs, and she had tears in her eyes. When she saw it was me, she smiled. And I said, ma'am, can I pray with you? And she just broke down. She came out on the front porch and squeezed me so tight. This lady I've never met. She held my hand so tight, and I prayed for her and her family, for her husband. And the point of this is a lot of people want the Lord to use them. And for me as an example, I pray every day for the Lord to use me. But when he's trying to use you, or when you feel that call and that tug on your heartstrings, do you move your feet? Do you move? Because I easily could have just went. I have 100 stops. I easily could have just went about the rest of my day thinking about it. So when you feel those tugs on your heartstrings and you feel like you need to do this, stop and do it. You know what I mean? Oh, man. That was like the most genuine hug I've received in a long time. And I just wanted to share that with you guys. If you're praying for the Lord to help and to use you in people's situations, when he is giving you a chance, do it. If not, you're gonna continue to think about it and regret it. Like, so be sure you know what you're praying for when you're praying. I don't know, I just, it made me sad, but yet it made my day. This lady was just so alone. But anyway, you guys have a good day.
I apologize for this in part. I couldn't, I'd have to edit it out. So. Did that look very complicated what she was doing? She was just going about her day, and a broken person came in front of her. And she did exactly what I did. I know, I'm too busy, I've got this to do, I've got 100 packages to deliver. And we all do that. So the next step is actually this. When we hear the voice of God, when we feel God pulling at our heartstrings, that's him talking to you. We need to obey. She was obedient. She went and she came back. How much time was wasted in between? You could just do it on the spot. Just obey straight away. You know what? Maybe you don't know how to prophesy. You're scared of it. But we can all pray. All she did here was she prayed for that person. And look at the end. She was more blessed by it. She said, it was the most genuine hug I've received in a long time. And that's what God does. When we step out, both people, both parties are blessed. Obey and step out of faith. I think that is a very difficult thing to do. We don't always know how we are going to be received. But you know what? That is not our business. We cannot determine the outcome. We are just the vessels that God uses. How the person chooses to receive it is upon them. I cannot heal anybody. I cannot deliver anybody from their sins. I can tell them, I can lead them to a person that knows it. And sometimes we just need to plant the seed. We might not see the fruit straight away, but be obedient to what God is asking you to do at that point. We are not alone in this, people. We've got the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I say to you. So when I'm in a situation like that, I will say, Lord, help me. What do I say to this person? What is your message to this person? And then just keep quiet. Listen. Don't be uncomfortable in the silences. And God will answer you. He is more willing to answer than what we are willing to ask. The word helper, we all know, is next slide, is the parakletos of God. It means the comforter, the counselor, the helper, the advocate. What, when those things, if you really think about it, whatever we need is in those four words. When we need a comforter, when we want to be comforted, or we want to comfort somebody, the Holy Spirit will help us. Counselor, helper, advocate, it is there. We are not in this alone. You know, when we are baptized by the Holy Spirit, not to point fingers at people, take it back to water baptism. It is not a sprinkling of water on the forehead. When Jesus was baptized, he was immersed in the water. And when he got out, he was completely drenched. He was completely wet. And the water was running off him. That is why when we speak about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it is the same concept. God wants you to be completely saturated by His Spirit. You've got to be overflowing. It's not just a little joke to say, you know what, Aunt Tessa, I'm just going to drop for you. No. That is not the God that we serve. God wants to completely, utterly drench every part of us. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. We've got to step out in faith, knowing that He will come through for us. You know what, and sometimes we, like I said, I mean, I've got a lot of stories where I fall short, but God comes through. The one day was actually a school to teach how to operate in the supernatural. And one of the things we had to do is we had to go to the Liberty Mall. And when I go to the mall, I have to use a wheelchair. And the exercise we were going to do was to go treasure hunting. I don't know if you guys heard about that before. So basically what I had to do, we're going to look for individual and we're going to give him a word of God. But to make it more difficult, we were told, before we go out, you've got to ask God for a picture of this person that you are going to look for and encourage in the word of God. And I thought, this is so not me, going up to a stranger in a mall and people looking at you and they think, you're just completely weird. I'm so not for this. So I thought to myself, valuable lesson, don't do this. I thought to myself, I'm just going to make up a picture. And I'm going to make up a ridiculous picture of a person. And afterwards, I'm just going to say, I didn't find my treasure. I'm going to be happy with it. I'll just roam around the mall for an hour and so. So we prayed, and we had to share our picture with people. So I shared, I said, I can't even remember. I said, I see a blonde guy, wavy hair, clean muscle tee. I can't remember the color of shorts, and yet red or green slip-slops on. So I just made a picture. And I was happy. So we walk into the main entrance where Abbs, and around the corner you get Mr. Price. And right at the beginning, as a person walked out, and one of the ladies said, Keith, here's your picture. And I said, oh, flip. What do I do now? I said, Lord, you've got to come through for me. You've got to come through. I asked. God was faithful. I gave that person a word and he was completely overwhelmed. In our weaknesses, God still comes through. We've got a lesson to learn in this, people. Don't be me. Don't be like Jonah. When God speaks, obey straight away. To land this thing as well, another thing that we've got to do to live in the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, is we have to be overcomers. What does that mean? To him who overcomes, in Revelation 2-3 as well, seven times it's said, to him who overcomes. I'm going to read a few of this. It says this. To him who overcomes, I will give to each from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. To him who overcomes, he who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. He who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat. And I will give him a white stone, and on that stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, I will give power over nations, Did you hear that? We are living this life for something greater, guys. God has got big things in store to us. But to him who overcomes, I will give power over nations. You shall rule with them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels, as I also have received from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also sit on the throne. What remarkable promises from God. What does it mean to overcome? It's the same word that is written to him who endures. It is written about in Hebrews 12. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. This is a race we're running, people. It is not an easy race. We are called to endure. We are called to overcome. Overcome the things that are obstacles in our lives. And you can only overcome by fixing your eyes on Jesus. And once again, we're not alone in this. He's given us his Holy Spirit. And it says there's a cloud of witnesses cheering us on. People that have walked this road before us, they're sitting in the cloud. And this cloud is referred to in the old days. The seats right up in the pavilion were known as the cloud seats. People cheering, go. Go, go, you can do it. You are enabled by the Holy Spirit. You are not alone. Do it. You know what? Many people, almost every person written about in the Bible have messed up and messed up badly. But God said, you know what? Get up. Wipe the dust from your knees. Fix your eyes upon me. So if you're sitting here this morning, say, you know what? I can't do this because I've done such and such and such. You either touched on it last week. No, it is all inclusive. If you are a believer, you are included in this. Ask for this gift, receive this gift, listen to the Holy Spirit, cultivate his presence in your life, listen to his voice, and when you hear his voice, obey. Can you guys do that? Do you think that is very hard? Saying? We've got to help with the Holy Spirit. So what I want to do now is, maybe you've sat here this morning and you say, you know what, this is all Greek to me, and I'm not sure where this guy was going with this. I've heard terminology that I haven't heard before. As you know what, it starts off by asking God to reveal himself to you, and he reveals himself to you by his Son, Jesus Christ. So if you haven't accepted Christ into your life, I want to give you the invitation. Today is the day of salvation. God is knocking at your door. You feel he's pulling at your heartstrings. Don't leave this place without accepting him. I want to pray with you. I don't want to embarrass you. You know what? God says when the minute one person comes into the kingdom, the angels rejoice. And God's saying today is your chance. I want to pray with you afterwards. Come see me. So that's the first category of people I want to pray for. The second one is maybe... you have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit before, but you feel like the tap has been left open and the water has run out, but there hasn't been a refilling. And you are running on fumes this morning, and the gas tank is empty, and you feel like, you know what, I can't do this. And you know what, you're actually right, you can't do this. And God wants to revitalize you this morning. He wants to strengthen you and refresh you this morning and then give you a fresh outpouring. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit is continual. Although He's with us, we've got to ask for continual outpouring, continual refreshing. God wants to pray for you as well this morning. And the third category is maybe you're sitting here and you've never been baptized by the Holy Spirit. Like I said earlier, if you are a believer, you cannot do the work God has called you to do unless you've received a baptism. It's a promise, it's a gift that you have to receive. So if you want to receive that gift this morning, I want to pray for you guys as well this morning. So we, not just me, the team, the elders, we're going to lay hands on you guys. We're going to ask God that from this day forth, your life will never be the same. Guys, it's exhilarating, right? We can't always be an I, but I want my highs in the Holy Spirit to be more than what I want the lowest to be. And God wants to do that in each and every life this morning. Can we pray? Afterwards, if you're one of those categories, come forward and I'll pray with you guys. Father, we thank you that each day is a new day with you. We thank you, Lord, that you loved us so much, Lord, that you created us to be in your presence, to walk with you, to have fellowship with you, Lord. But we understand, Lord, that sin has separated us from you, Lord. But you've given your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, so that we can be in your presence again, Lord. We can enter your presence at any point, Lord. But more of that, Lord, we can experience your presence by the Holy Spirit, Lord. You've given the disciples the commandment, Lord, to wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Lord. It's a gift that you have given us, Lord. And Lord, we don't want to take that gift for granted. We don't want to put that gift on the shelf this morning and let it gather dust, Lord. But Father, the desire is to have more of you in our lives, Lord. More of your presence in your life. More of you to be, more of us to be used by you, Lord. And I truly believe that is the outcry of each heart this morning, Lord. That's the reason we are here, Lord. Father, I don't believe you have called us to live a mediocre Christian life, Lord. You said you've come so that we can have life and have it abundantly, Lord. And you also promised, Lord, that you said that you have done great things, Jesus, but even greater things than this we'll do in your name, Lord. And that is the life that you have called us, Lord. That life can only be achieved in your Spirit, Lord. So I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come and meet us this morning, Lord, that you will make your presence known in our hearts this morning as we leave this place, Lord, and that you start speaking to us, Lord, but most of all, Lord, and give us the courage, Lord, to be obedient to your voice this morning, Lord. Father, bless each person here this morning by your Spirit, Lord. And I thank you for each person here, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that the testimonies will come forth from this day forth, Lord, of what you are doing in the hearts of your people, Lord. We bless you this morning, Lord. We thank you for this day, Lord. And let your name be glorified in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.